How about that, huh? How many Christ followers sort of say that, you know? This is the way we do it. This is the way we've always done it. And this is the way I'm going to continue to do it, right? I'm never going to grow up. Well, we're glad you're here. Welcome to LifeGate Church. Let me welcome you. We've restructured the order of our service a little bit so that we can have time at the end to do some things. And so that's what we're doing. It's a little bit different. I know you've noticed that, but I promise you we're going to have some time to sing some songs and do some stuff in just a little while. If you're here and I've not met you and this is one of your first times here, I sure would like to shake your hand and get to meet you before you leave. I'll be running around here at the altars or out there at the door or someplace after the service. So please come shake my hand and let me meet you before you get going. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We pray, Lord, that every person here will sense your spirit. Lord, as I go forth to sow the word, your seed today, Father, I pray that it will fall upon good soil and that it will bring forth much fruit, fruit that remains in 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Father, I pray that it changes all of our lives so that we can grow up. Lord, we'll understand that we need to train ourselves and to grow up. Father, I pray for myself that I won't talk too fast or too slowly, and that, Lord, what I say will be interesting and keep our attention. And ask it in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I hope you saw the scriptures, and I'd like for you to go ahead and turn to those things. If you have it, it's in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. That's a good place, and I'm going to need you to be in Psalms 47 and 7. Psalms 18 would be really good, too. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We began a new series last week, and my series is titled Growing Up. Growing up. God wants us to mature. Now, let me show you this. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says this, in fact. Now, the fact that the writer of Hebrews is making here is that most, if not all, or many at least Christians, Christ followers, never go on to maturity. They experience what would be arrested development syndrome. So this is what the writer is addressing here. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, look at this, the elementary truths of what? Of God's Word all over again. Now these Hebrew Christians were arrested in their development and at the elementary stage, but actually it's even the infant stage. This is the arrested development syndrome, which is what happens to most Christians. We come in and we grow a little bit real fast, and then all of a sudden our growth arrests. And it says that there we're arrested in the elementary truths of God's Word. You see, God wants us to grow in His Word. He wants us to ingest His Word. He wants us to take what we already know, but continue to grow in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that really changes us. He says, God's Word, all over again, you need to be instructed in that. He says, you need milk, not solid food. Now, the picture that the writer is making here for us to see is someone who is fully grown, but yet is sucking a baby bottle. That's the picture that he's presenting to us. He says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. You see, what the Word of God is to do for us is to take us to righteousness. Now, righteousness, you know, it's a churchese word. It's a word that you hear a lot in church. But what it simply means is living life at the right level, at the level that God has planned for us. It's understanding good and evil. The Garden of Eden had the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. And if we partake of the wrong things, though it might be good, it can still be evil and stop us from accelerating into righteousness and understanding what God has for us. He says, but solid food is for who? For the mature. Are you with me? Do you have to get the balcony with us today again? Solid food is for who? The mature. You see, God wants us to mature. The Word of God is there for us to eat so that we can go on to maturity. He wants us to go on to maturity. The solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves. I need you to say that back to me. Trained themselves. Now, what I want us to see here is this won't just happen. You just won't pray a sinner's prayer and all of a sudden you start growing in the Lord and become mature. It's like you going to school. You train yourself to read. You train yourself to do math. You train yourself to speak properly. You train yourself. In every area of life, you train yourself. When you come into Christianity, you've got to train yourself to mature. Wherever that we are at this stage in time, we got to train ourselves to go on. Train themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us what? Leave the elementary, whatever station that we find ourselves at this moment, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and do what? Go on to maturity. Grow up. This is what that verse is basically saying. Grow up. Now, that's what our series is about. Our series is about growing up. And what we're doing is we're looking at the Bible and letting that be our standard. Not what the preacher says or what somebody we know says, but letting the Bible be our standard. We're trying to find mature Christ followers and God lovers in the Bible and comparing what they did according to the Bible and the way the Bible teaches it with ourselves. Not just individually, but also corporately. How are we? Where are we mature-wise as a body of Christ? Where are we individually maturing in the body of Christ? Are we growing up? Are we stuck at a certain level and will never grow up? I won't grow up. Is that our song? Or do we want to go on and become a mature person in God? So last time I talked to you about growing up in giving. And the thing I tried to show us in that particular lesson is that a reason that most Christ followers never get their finances under control is because they allow their minds to lead them in financial situations. They never become a giver in the kingdom of God because they're listening to their mind and not their heart. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Your heart has led you to where your treasures are. God is going to work through our hearts. And if we'll follow our hearts, our giving will take care of itself because all of a sudden we'll find the treasures that God has for us. But today what I want to talk to you about is growing up in praise. Growing up in praise. Now, let me start off with some questions, some real fast questions. You tell me, should a Christ follower, should somebody that's wanting to grow up and mature, should a mature Christ follower praise God the way that the Bible says to praise God? How many think that that's what a lot of us need some work, don't we? Well, they should. I'm going to convince you of that shortly. A mature person is going to do it, and Christ is going to do it the way the Bible says to do it. Let me ask you another one. Should a mature Christ follower praise God not only when things are good, but when things are not good? When things are dark, when things are bad, what do you think? How many think that they should? Should? Yes, sure they should. But you see that, look around. I mean, you see people, when they're going through a bad time, they just stop coming to church even. They just fall all apart. Because why? Because they're not able to praise God. They're not able to mature in praising God. So we're going to be talking about that just a little bit. Let me ask you another one. Should a mature Christ follower want others to praise God the way the Bible says to praise God? Why do I care how you praise God? Why is that important to me? Why is it important to God? Why does God care? Does he have to have this ego thing he goes through so that we're just down here just saying, oh, how wonderful you are, God? That's not it, is it? So what I want us to see are there are reasons for us to praise God. Reasons that change our lives. There are certain things set in the Bible, in the Word of God, to cause us to mature and to experience an abundant life. And so those are some of the things that we want to talk about, and we need to grow up in praise. So this is what we're going to be talking about. Let me start off with this statement. Praise is to be given with understanding. Would you say that back to me? Praise is to be given with understanding. In other words, when we come in here and we have a service lined up, we just don't separate these 15 minutes so that we can sing a few songs. There's something that we're trying to accomplish. There's some understanding that a mature person needs to know about what's happening during praise. Let me read you these scriptures, and I hope you turn to them in your Bibles. In Psalms 47 and 7, the King James Version says this, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing your praises with what? Sing your praises with what? Understanding." And to understand what you're doing. Understand what praise is about. And then in the Living Bible, it says this, "Yes, sing your highest praise, your best praise. Get your energy level up. Get it going. Sing your highest praise to our King, the King of all the earth." Sing what? Thoughtful. Put some thought to what you're doing. We're not here just to mimic words and read words off of the screen. We're here to put some thought into it and to have some understanding about what's happening. And then in the New American Standard Version, it says this, "For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with what? A skillful psalm." Put some skill into it. And I don't think that's necessarily talking about, you know, you hit every note and you have the greatest voice and those kinds of things, but there are some activating praise so that skillfully, so that it does what praise is supposed to do. So the Bible teaches us to do it with understanding. The Bible teaches us to do it with some wisdom and some intelligence. Let me show you what the word that's in the King James Version translated understanding is in the Greek. It's the Greek word sakal. There's your Strong's reference, and here's what it means. To be circumspect. That means to be careful and calculating. When we do praise, we're supposed to be careful and calculating. And hence what? Intelligent. We can do dumb praise, or we can do intelligent praise. And if we do intelligent praise, if we do it with some understanding, something's going to be accomplished in our lives, and we're going to go on to maturity. So we're supposed to praise God with careful, calculating, thoughtful praise. Now my point is this, is that mature believers praise God with skill, understanding, and skill. But how many of us come in here on Sundays, and when the music begins, we put thought to what we're doing? We add skill. We have intelligence about praise. Or do most of us just start singing? See, the Bible wants us to do it with purpose and on purpose. We need to do it with some skillful understanding and understand what's happening during a praise service. What's happening during the praise service? Are we just singing? Or is something really taking place in the spiritual dimension in our life if we enter into praise? So this is what I want to talk about. Now, I've got to do this. And I really don't like doing this, but I have to do this to kind of make my point. I want to show you 10 different Hebrew and Aramaic words. That's the Old Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic. Is the Old Testament, that are translated into our one English word, praise. Now, it's very important that you get some of this with me, okay? The first one is the Hebrew word, halal. How many times is that word used? Pardon? 92 times. God, that's major. When God uses something and repeats it 92 times, He's serious about this word. It's the word that's used the most that is translated into our one English word, praise. The next one, yada, used how many times? 52. That's still major. And then the next one is tehillah, used how many times? 51 times. Man, look how many times God's talking here just in those three words about praise. These are major things. And then you'll notice that it goes down from there. Zamar used 4 times. Shabak used 4 times. And you'll notice that it keeps going down. But there are 10 Hebrew and Aramaic words that are translated into our one English word, praise. And then, that doesn't stop there. In the Greek, in the New Testament, there are 7 more words that are translated as praise. Here they are, epainios, doxa, epainio, and then go ahead and put that other screen up there. And you see that they go on down from there. Now, my point is this, is that there are 17 words translated into our one English word, praise. I learned 2 things. As I study those 17 words and I find out about them, I learned 2 major things. Number one, there are different ways to praise God. Some of those words, like we're going to talk about it in just a little while, some of those words means to rave in praise, to do like some of us do. We jump and shout and clap. Some of it means just lift your hands in thanksgiving. Some of it means to kneel. There are different ways of praising God. And then number 2, there are different reasons to praise God. When things are going good, we're supposed to give Him thankful praise. When things aren't going good, we're supposed to have another kind of praise that we go forth with. When things are in this situation, one of those words actually means a story. You can tell a story, and that's a praise to God. So there are different ways to praise God, And there are different reasons to praise God. And if we're going to grow in our maturity in praise, then we've got to know those things. Not know all the Greek words and Hebrew words and all that stuff, but to know that there are ways that I need to praise God when things are going good and ways I need to praise God when things aren't going good. Now, we don't have time, of course, to look at all 17 of those, and I wouldn't even if we did have time, but what I do want to do is look at a few of them. So the first one that we're going to look at is the one that is used the most. No matter what translation you use, if it's King James, NIV, Amplified, New Living Translation, New King James, it doesn't matter. This is what is in the Bible. In the original writings, 92 times this word is used. And here it is. It's the Greek word, Hebrew word, halal. Used 92 times. And here's what it means. To be clear of sound or color. In other words, when somebody is doing this praise, you won't miss it. It's clear. They are in halal praise to God. It's to shine. It's like the sun. You don't miss the sun, do you? When somebody is in this praise, they're shining. I mean, you won't miss them. It's bright and it's clear. It hints to make a show, to boast. And look at this. To be clamorously foolish. To rave or to celebrate. Now what is this praise? Let me ask you this question. Do you know anybody that kind of comes close to doing this kind of praise? Who? Grace? Joyce? Delbert? I think the pastor of LifeGate kind of gets close to it sometimes, don't you? I mean, it's the jumping and the clapping and the twirling and the shouting praise. It's that kind of praise. God uses that more than any other kind of talking about praise in the Bible. Of all the 17 words, He uses this one the most. What does that tell you? Pardon? You know what it tells me? Because He used it the most, it's the one He wants me to do the most. Why? Because it accomplishes the most. There is a reason with understanding and with intelligence that we should come into praise. God wants us to mature and to grow up in our praise. So what I want to do is I want to look at a few of these scriptures that uses this Hebrew word halal, and so we can get a contextual evaluation of it so that we can compare ourselves with it and see where we align with maturing in praise. All right, Psalms 18, I hope you're there. And if you're not, I'd like for you to turn there so that you can kind of follow me through this whole psalm. Psalms 18:3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be halal. He's worthy to be praised. That's our English word. But the Hebrew word is halal. Now notice this, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Please leave that up there a few seconds. Please notice that halal praise saves us from our enemies. Is the Bible true or not true? It's true, right? So halal praise equals being saved from my enemies. Now what's happening here in Psalms 18 is David is recounting a time when he was near death. He was dying. He didn't die. You know why? Because he halal. He praised God. He was saved from that enemy. This is what the psalm is all about. In Psalms 18, verses 4 through 5, it says this, the cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of the grave coiled around me, the snares of death confronted me. David was in trouble, but he summoned the energy to halal, to do this crazy praise, this foolish kind of praise. Though he was sick and dying, he got the energy up to do this. When so many Christians today, when things start going bad or they get sick, they don't even come to church. They just stay home. Listen, you got to have some understanding because God has put some things in His Word, and if we will partake of it and mature in it and let it become solid food for us, we will grow in life into righteousness and experience the best life we possibly can. This is what He's trying to do for us and show us in this passage. And if you read through there, and I don't have time, of course, to go through it and all, but in verse 6 it says, God heard David because he halal. Then God began to shake mountains, it says, part heavens. And then He came down. Verse 9 says, He came riding the cherubim and the cloud. He says, the sea opened in verse 15. Now, listen, I don't have time to do this, but the cloud, when God shows up on the cloud, He's ready to do some business. When the Shekinah glory cloud was in the wilderness and the children of Israel was following that Shekinah cloud, it opened up the Red Sea and the Shekinah cloud provided them with manna from heaven and water from a rock. It took care of them. It defeated their enemies from them. Jesus ascended on the cloud, on the Shekinah cloud, and Jesus went up to do business, did he not? When God shows up on the cloud, he's there to do some business for us. And David says he came on the cloud, shook mountains, and did all these things. In Psalms 18:14, it says, he shot his arrows and scattered the enemies. Is that plural or singular? Do you ever have a time in life where it's not just one thing going crazy or one thing wrong? But there may be four or five different things going wrong all at the same time. All these enemies have sieged you or encompassed you, and you need to get out of it somehow, and it looks like you're going to be destroyed and going down. See, Hallel praise is able to help us through these times. I want to show you this. Enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. Now, of course, God really wasn't shaking mountains and opening seas, and God really wasn't shooting real arrows and real thunderbolts. It's what is called apocalyptic type writing. It's figurative writing. Apocalyptic writing is expressing to us what's happening in a spiritual dimension in words and terms that we can understand in the natural. So what was happening in the spiritual dimension is God had come down, shaken things, shot arrows and lightning bolts and thunderbolts, and done some business for David. In Psalms 18, 16 and 17 says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. So what I'm asking you today is, what powerful enemy are you facing? What powerful enemy would you like some arrows shot at? Some lightning bolts thrown at? How about your home? How's your home doing? How about your finances? How about your health? Your work? Your children? See, what do you need God to come down and do some business for you? Because Hallel praise accomplishes something that nothing else that I'm aware of in the Scriptures accomplish. You can pray fast, have 55 gallons of oil poured on you, demons cast out, and those enemies will still be there. Hallel praise will move stuff that nothing else will move. I want us to get this. What powerful enemies are you facing today? The only way I know to move some enemies that are trying to take you down is through Hallel praise. But Delbert, I'm bashful. I've never praised like that. I wasn't raised that way. That's what I'm trying to express to us. We have been arrested in our praise. Are you with me? We've experienced arrested development syndrome in our praise. And to us, all praise is one of those 17 kinds. And God wants us to experience all of them. God wants us to go on to maturity and experience all the praise. Don't be arrested in your development of praise. Now, what I want to do is give us some quick insights into how we do this. How do we change? How do we grow? Well, the first thing that we've got to do, and you might want to write these down, the first thing that we all need to do when we come into praise is start at the beginning. Do you believe that? Everybody begins at the same place when it comes to praise. I don't know of anybody that just got saved and all of a sudden moved into all these praises. You train yourself. So everyone, here's a statement for you, everyone begins praising at the same place. Where is that? At the beginning. The first thing you've got to do is put yourself in an environment of praise, in an environment of Hallel. Some places you can't do this. Some places that's out of order. You got to be around a place, in a place where Hallel praise, where this kind of praise is acceptable and even encouraged. So do that. That's the first thing you got to do. The second thing you got to do is when the music starts, realize we're just not mouthing words and reading words from a screen. What we're starting to do is enter into some warfare kind of things and shoot some arrows and throw some lightning bolts and get God to show up in some areas of our lives. When the music starts and people start clapping, well, if you've never clapped before, we'll just do it easy. Because there's going to come a day, if you mature and you grow up and go on to maturity, that you'll be doing this. Raise your hands here. Nobody will see you or think you're strange.
But there's a day coming, I'm telling you, when you will grow up in that area and you'll train yourself to praise. Shouting. Okay. I don't know about shouting in church. Well, find a time when it's really noisy, and we have a lot of noise in here. Find a time when it's really noisy and shout. Or just do a little shout. Hallelujah. Because one day you're going to say, Hallelujah! Right? Dancing. Just move your feet a little bit. You want to. You just got them nailed down there. But the music starts just a little bit, because one day you're going to be dancing and twirling, and you don't care who sees you, and you're going to be like David, and you're going to do it with all your might. Right? Now I want us to really get this, because here's what the Bible says mature people do when they're praising God. Psalms 47:1 says, Oh, clap your hands, all you people. How many? All you people do what? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 63:4 says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Psalms 105:4 says, praise halal him with tambourines and dancing. Praise halal him with strings and flute. See, halal praise. Why does God want us to do this? Why does he want us to do this foolish kind of clamorous praise, make all this noise and stuff? Because it does things, it changes things that nothing else will change. Years ago, I went through something. It was extremely embarrassing to me. It was bad. It was affecting me mentally, physically, emotionally. I was a wreck. It happened on a Thursday or a Friday, and I thought this ministry was done. I thought it was over. I thought it was drowning, just like David was. And it was happening on a Thursday or Friday, so when we come in here on Sunday, the praise started, and I don't know, but I just kicked into Hallel praise, and Judy did too. And we Hallel God. I want you to tell you, I'm standing here today telling you that God reached down just for me, just like he did David. He shook mountains. He shot arrows. He threw lightning bolts. He opened seas. He did some things that I didn't think could happen. God will do that for you too. He turned that thing completely around, and it's better now than it's ever been. I've watched some of you go through things with bad doctor's reports, cancer, those kinds of things. But I've watched you move into Hallel, and here you sit today. You defeated it. God showed up for you. God showed up on his cloud and did some business. You see, that's what Hallel will do. That's what it's about. God's given it so we can mature into it, train ourselves in it, so that we can experience it and have the righteous life, the best life that God has for us. That's what happened. Now, we're told I'm going to tell you some more about that story at the end, I hope. We're told of a most interesting account of the power of Hallel praise in 2 Chronicles. So if you got your Bibles, turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You just need to know where this is. I'm going to relate to several of the verses, but you just need to kind of check me out to make sure I'm telling you the truth. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there is a king there whose name is Jehoshaphat. Let's call him Joey. Would that be okay? Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat king. He's the king of Judah, the southern kingdom. Now, what has happened is enemies, plural, had come against the people of God. They had sieged Jerusalem, and they were about to destroy the people of God. It was a dark time for the people of God. Well, Jehoshaphat prayed, the Bible says. And he looked out the window, and the enemy was still there, just as strong and just as powerful. Well, Jehoshaphat not only prayed, but he began to fast. And he looked out the window, and the enemy was still there, just as strong and just as powerful as he's ever been. So Jehoshaphat got some other people to agree with him, wherever two or three of you were gathered in my name, right? So he got some people to agree with him in prayer, but he looked out the window, and the enemy was still there and just as powerful. He even put on sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he did it very religiously. He did it according to the code. And he looked out, and they were still there. The enemy was still there, just as numerical and just as powerful, and they looked like they were going down. So what Jehoshaphat did is he called a corporate meeting. He says, we got to get together in the temple, and we've got to find a way to find God, get a word from God as to what's happening here and what we can do. So he called a meeting in the temple, and people showed up. And let me read this to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 19. It says, then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korites stood up. What'd they do? They stood up and praised. Hallel. They stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. I love it. I just love it. Listen, there's some times when you can't be dignified. There's something. Now, I'm a dignified person. I like to be dignified. But there's some times when you need to stand up and have a loud voice in a praise service. If you got some enemies about to destroy you, you need to realize that the power of Hallel praise can move that enemy. When praying won't, when fasting won't, when getting the people to pray with you, you come down here, we pour 55 gallons of oil on you, we get all the elders around you, we cast out devils, we lay hands on you, we rebuke all this stuff, and the enemy is still there. It is time to do something else. And what it's time to do is Hallel praise God. So he called these people together, and with a very loud voice, they began to Hallel. Now, the Bible says this, and this is very, very important, and I want to make a point here. There's this guy there, his name is Jehaziel. He's a prophet. He's kind of over all the menstrual things. And he stands up, the Bible says. Now, and the Bible, though, makes a very important point. It says that he was an ancestor of a guy named Asaph. Now, Asaph goes all the way back to the times of David, the guy that loved God with all of his heart, the guy that God said is a man after my own heart, the guy that would run through the streets of Jerusalem and praising and dancing, and everybody ridiculed him. But this is the guy, that he takes this guy, Jehaziel, back to the times of David. Let me read you this in 1 Chronicles 25:1. David, together with the commanders of the army, please say that back to me, with the commanders of the army, say that please, with commanders of the army, set apart some of the sons of Asaph, there's that guy, Heman and Jeduthun, for what? The ministry of prophesying. Now, accompanied by harps and lyres and cymbals. What I want us to see before we leave it is that David hooked up the armies of God with praise. David understood something about praise that we're yet to grab a hold of. You hook up the armies of God when you praise. And so what he does here, here's the point that I really want you to get while I'm on this thing. Is that scripture still up there? Put that back up for you if it's not. The ministry of prophesying accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals. Leave that up there just a second. The purpose of musical instruments in a church service or in the temple service or whatever it is to put oil on words to accompany them into our hearts and our spirits and our souls. What music does is oil up the words so that they slide into us really, really easy. And what it does when music comes in is it stirs up the supernatural, both in light and darkness. Parents, hear me. You need to listen to the music. You need to be careful. You don't need to listen to it, but you need to know what your children are listening to. I have seen some young people listen to some very bad music and go through some very, very bad times in life. It's oil. Music puts oil on words, and it accompanies those words right into our hearts and our spirits and our souls, both in light and darkness. We realize if we can get you singing songs, I haven't sang this song and I don't know when, but it goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 15, and it says, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. You know, that's a direct quote from the scriptures of God, and it's probably been 10 years since we've sang that song. But it's oiled, and it's in my heart, and it's in my spirit. Because of music. And that's what happens. And parents, we too need to be careful to which we listen to what we listen to. It does the same things to us. And this stuff comes in, it's there. And it's going to do. Words are seed, are they not? Have I not taught you that? Words are seeds, and they're going to be planted, and they're going to bring forth something. So this accompany, this the prophetic music accompanies the word, the prophetic word of God. And so what the Bible says here that this Jehaziel guy did is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in verse 14, and he stood up and he gave a prophecy, a prophetic song actually is what he did. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, I'm going to read that to you right now. But here's what Jehoshaphat the king did when the word of the Lord came. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise, Hallel, the beauty of His holiness. Now look at this. That was the first, the Hallel praise. That's what we're talking about. As they went out before the army. As they went out where? Before the army. Praisers went out before the army. And to say praise, a different, same English word, different Hebrew word, yadah. Yadah. Hallel. Now it's Yadah. Yadah was the word that's used 52 times. It's a different kind of praise. Same English word, but if we don't study and grow and mature, we don't realize that it's a whole different kind of praise they're doing now. Now they've moved into a thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy endureth forever and ever. And that's exactly what they said, right? Praise you, Lord. Yada, you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever and ever. It's a thanking kind of a praise. And then notice this. Praise you, the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they had begun to sing and to praise, another different word here. Another different Hebrew word. Tehillah. And what it means is a hymn. It's a laudation. And so they moved into a third type of praise. All of this was going on in this particular service. When they did all these kinds of praises, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the enemies that had come against Jehoshaphat, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Listen, he prayed, he fasted, he got other people to pray and fast with him. He did everything that he knew to do, but the enemy still stayed there. There was only one thing that moved that enemy. Sometimes you're going to be going through things. It's going to stay there and stay there and stay there until you mature and grow up in praise. And then when you begin to have understanding about praise and what praise really does, that enemy will finally move. It says, set yourself. That's what the King James Version says in verse 17. Set yourself. And the NIV Bible says to take up your positions. Now, what this is they put the praisers in front. I showed you that. They put the praises. Do you remember when Joshua when God was telling Joshua about Jericho and how to march around it one time for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day? Well, what he positioned them was put the shofars or the trumpets in front of the ark, right? Remember that? And they got out there blowing. Why? Because what praise does is it starts throwing arrows and it starts shooting in lightning bolts and it starts shaking mountains and it starts bringing the glory cloud of God into your situation. And all of a sudden God shows up and does some business for us, right? And that's why we do it first. That's why it's set in position to be in front. That's what God always does. And when we enter into praise, that's what we want to do. Now, there were three different words. Let me show you these real fast. These three different words that were in that section there. There is the halal praise. The halal praise is the kind of praise, the crazy praise, the jubilant, clamorous, foolish praise. And then there's the yada praise. The yada praise is the praise of thanksgiving. And then there's finally the tehillah praise. It's the hymn of salvation. Now, here's my point in this, is don't get stuck in one kind of praise. Now, we do. Our charismatics, we like it hopping and loud and going on, right? And then the other end of the spectrum where people aren't around this kind of praise, they get stuck in hymns. They only want to do hymns. And then there's a vineyard group in the middle there. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we just love you, Lord. Don't get stuck in any of those. Listen, God wants us to do all of them because it's when we really understand what praise does that the enemy is smitten. See, a lot of times that we don't really take the enemy's head off and really destroy the enemy is because we don't understand praise. God wants us to understand this. What happened when they did this praise and they did it correctly? Here's what happened. God set an ambush. They destroyed themselves. These people didn't even have to fight the fight. The enemies just destroyed themselves. But that wasn't all. You know what else happened? They got the spoil. They got the plunder. See, God just doesn't want to save you. God wants to make you rich. God wants to give you an abundant life. God wants you to have everything you need to have a successful life. Let me read this to you in 2 Chronicles 20 and 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and precious jewels, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. I told you earlier about a time when I felt like I was going under, and God showed up for me just like he showed up for David. Well, that's not the end of the story. That same year, here's what happened. That same year, God let us plunder the kingdom of darkness. We paid off our building. That same year. That same year, we paved our parking lot. All that used to be gravel out there. We didn't know how we was going to get that parking lot paved. It cost so much. But that year, God paved the parking lot for us. We were able to plunder. And that year, we also put carpet in here. What I'm wanting us to hear is what you will do when you go into halal praise. There's not just the destruction of the enemy, but there's also going to be the spoil that we are able to gather and come in with as well. Supernatural things happen when we praise God. See, one of the reasons, or a reason, that Christians and believers suffer and never experience the abundant life and the victory that God wants them to have is because they never mature. They've experienced arrested development syndrome in their praise. Praise does something that nothing else does. So, what enemies surround you today? What enemies are you facing? I know you've prayed. I know you fasted. I know you've got other people to pray for you. I've got other people to fast for you. But have you praised God? Have you gotten God to come on His cloud and hallel for you? Have you got God to move in that dimension? How about your home, your family, your finances? What's going on with you? If you put it out front, if you make it a priority. And see, that's how we usually do our services. That's the first thing we do is we start shooting arrows. The reason that we do praise the way we do it is because we understand what it's supposed to accomplish. This is what I want you to do. I want you to do this. I want you to move in this. And if you will do it correctly, God will move in your life just like He did David and Jehoshaphat and me and so many of you others who hallel praise and do the praise with understanding. Praise is a huge, huge doctrine, and we've just scratched the surface. All those things, we could talk about praise for a long, long time. But what I'm asking you to do today is grow up in praise in what you've heard today. I want you to step out and do what you've heard today in praise. And that's what we're going to be doing. Last time I activated what we were taught about giving. We received the offering last. So what we're going to do today is we're going to activate praise. And I just want you to move. I just want you to come into it and praise God. So let's pray.